I will just read it quickly. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "But put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that you gave us this day. It is a special day to us because, God, it is not by our own will that we have come this far. As we come to your word, help us to understand that there is nothing that can defeat us in this life. Remove fear and build us in faith. I ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During the course of this week, I offended Bobby. Reason why I offended her. It was during the incident that happened. I was up in the office. Actually, she phoned me because she could not go out of the door after the shootings. And then when I came into the house, I found them all together, my daughters and Poppy and my grandchildren. And they were so frightened. Then I said to them, "Hey guys, why don't you fix your relationship with God?" And Poppy said, "Hey Lizo, you are trying to say you are much believing than us. You've got much faith than us." Then I said, "No man, reason why am I saying this is that for me, whether living or dying, I fear nothing." Yet, I was sure when I was saying that, that even within myself, there is that fear. There are those questions that I'm asking. What if one of them was injured? What if one of them was shot and dead? So everything was going to be a mess. But what I was trying exactly to say to Bobby is just written in John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, which I will read those words. They are talking about the reason why Jesus Christ came on earth. And it says as follows, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Verses 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. Can you hear that? That those who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave them the power to become children of God. And not of those who are born by a natural descent, but who are born by the will of God. You know, my title, it says, Abundance of Life in Disguise, or Abundance of Life Hidden. Why am I putting this? You will find as we move along this text, I'm not going to be long. You know, becoming a believer, it's not an easy thing. But here in the verses that I've read, there are two things that are happening here. Christ is trying to move his disciples from fear to faith. Hence, I've got these two main points. The doomed life, as well as the glorious life. All men are born in the first category. All men are born destined to die. But when they come to Christ, then they start realizing that now, the life that I'm living now, it's a glorious life. But at the center of these two lives, Jesus' resurrection is the one that changes all the plight of man. In these verses, what is happening? We find that Jesus Christ was dead, he was killed, he was humiliated. Then what happened to his disciples? His disciples were now confused. If we look to these verses, there are three characters here. The whole verses, they are talking, if you look at Mary's persistency. In the previous verses, that is chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Mary Magdalene, he's going time and again, to the grave, to the tomb. But the other disciples in the verses that I've read, they are locking themselves up in the house. Why are they doing this? It is because they fear death. They fear that the Jews will do what they did to Christ. But for Mary Magdalene, even at the point of death, he never divorced, he never dealt away with Jesus' lordship. Even at the point of death, he was still believing in him. So why I'm bringing this to us today? I know that as we come to the end of the year, we've got many resolutions. We are looking to the year that is ending today, and as well anticipating what is it going to happen in the year that comes. Then here, even in these verses, in verses 19 to 23, we see that disciples anticipating a doomed life, anticipating death. If you look in verses 19, the reason why they have closed and they've shut themselves out from the world, it was because they fear Jews. They fear Jews. But these people, they were with Christ from the beginning. But because they knew that denouncing Judaism was calling for somebody's life, so now Jesus Christ, the one that they believe that is their master, the one they believe that is their Lord now, is dead. So what is their future? It is for this reason that they have locked themselves out from the world, because they were anticipating that the very same thing that has happened to him is going to happen to us. It was now at this point in time, changed from the punishment of the Old Testament. You know, when a person was denouncing Judaism in the Old Testament or the law of Moses, he was stoned. But now during this time of Jesus Christ, they were using the punishment that was used by the Romans. What are the Romans doing? When you go against them, you will be crucified. So they were quite aware that maybe what has happened to him is going to happen as well to us. But yet Jesus Christ, he came here to change them, to make them believe in him. So now what we see, as I've mentioned that, in the previous verses 1 to 10, Mary is going to the he's going to the tombs, and then he came back from the tomb, going back to his disciples and saying, I've seen the Lord. There is a repetition 3 times. Mary is saying, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. 3 times. But when he was telling them, they went and ran into the tomb. When they go to the tomb, indeed the Lord was not there. But in himself, he was confused because he was asking for the first time, where is the Lord? I don't know where they have placed him. I don't know where they've taken him. For the first time, she never met anybody else. But for the second time, he saw 2 angels. And he asked those angels, where did you place him? But he was always saying the Lord. And then for the third time, he met his master. You know why I'm stressing much on Mary? Is that he never looked at Christ during his death as the one who's weak. He was still trusting at him. If we remember who Mary Magdalene is the one that Christ has healed him from 7. He casted 7 demons out of her. So, but at this point in time, during his death, he was always her Lord. I don't know. What experience have you got in 2018? And I don't know what does it makes to you. But it might happen that you have been going through some hard time. Or also it might happen that your life was a life of great things. But the question that I would like to ask from you, how do you view Jesus Christ? Is everything that happens around your life pushing you closer to him? Or is it pushing you away from him? But here, Mary is an example. Then what is happening now to his disciples as Jesus Christ is appearing to them in verses 20 to 21? What does he say? He says to them, peace be with you. Do you still remember when Jesus Christ was born in Luke, what did the angels or the army or the host of heaven saying in their song? They were saying, peace be to earth. Why were they saying that? It was because now they were anticipating that for the birth of the Lord is paving a way for each and every one of us to go straight to God and not to go through the priest. So here Jesus Christ now, he's saying to his disciples, peace be with you. What does peace exactly say? If we remember, I've said in the point that I'm dealing with, all of us were doomed to die. We are destined for destruction. But when Jesus Christ came, he came to abolish that and to connect each and every one of us to God so that in whatever situation that comes our way, we should be going to God and ask him. But who are those who asked to him? Are only those who did what John says in chapter 1, verses 12. Those who receive him. Once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, then you can go to him time and again and ask him whatever that you want in his name, it will be given to you. So it's of no point for you to fear anything for 2019 or to fear anything, not only for 2019, but for your entire life as you live. Then, In verses 24 to 29, these disciples now, they have been given peace. And once you are being given, you are in connection with God, you've got a testimony. They have been given a new testimony, not the one of death now, the one of the resurrected Christ. Verses 25 tells that as they were believing now, they started telling Thomas that we have seen the Lord. And what is Thomas saying? He's doubting now. But he says, I resolve not to believe to you unless I touch you, unless I put my fingers into your side, or unless I put my fingers into the holes of the nails. So which means now what Thomas was saying was that, yes, you saw him, but as for me, I will never believe unless I touch him. Then what did Jesus Christ did? He gave Thomas an opportunity to test him. Friends, it doesn't matter what circumstances are, but if you have fellowship with Christ, he will give you an opportunity to verify whatever doubt that you've got, whatever question that you've got. God sent his son for that reason. It is for this reason when John is saying, Jesus Christ came with truth and grace, of which Moses came only with the truth that I was illuminating us to the character of God. But here now Christ is the truth. If you want to know who God is and how God is, there is no other person who can unlock your disbelief. There's only one person, Jesus Christ. Then in verses 27, Thomas was given an opportunity. He put his finger to the side of Christ, and he put his finger to the marks of the nails. What did he do afterwards? He said, "My Lord, my God." That was his confession. That was his acknowledgement that I've seen that you were dead, but now you came to life. For the mission of Christ was not going to be finalized until he comes back to life and goes back to his disciples and then commissions them and say, now I'm sending you to the world. What does that mean for us? It means that once you've got a testimony that Christ is your Lord and Savior, then a mission for you and me begins, which says that whatever situation that we've been in this year, don't put in human perspective. Look it with God's eyes and see what was God trying to achieve in your life about that. And then once you realize that whatever circumstances that were coming your way, God was building up your faith. He was trying to move you from the natural fear, because all of us, we are born with guilty. All of us, not even a single person. But when we come to Christ, all that which we fear, all guilt goes away. And then what starts to begin with our lives is we are starting now to live the life of faith. Starting to live the life of courage. Hence here now, the disciples, they started to tell Thomas that they have seen the resurrected Christ. As they were telling him, then he started to test in his own way. Then afterwards, he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Exactly what God was doing in Christ, he was building his new people, his own nation, which begin with Israel as the foundation, and then coming to us. Then as you close this year, I would like you to ask this question. What are the things that cause you to shiver, that cause you to fear, that cause you to shut yourself away from the world? If you've got some fears, it is a time to pray to God and say, God, as I believe to you, whatever fear that I might have, help me through your Spirit, that let all the guilt that is within me, let all the fears that are within me, let all that be taken away, so that as 2019 comes, let me be a co-worker with Christ, a co-worker with all those who are in his field. These are the words that I would like us to look at it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are a new people, the people that we have chosen before the world began. It is not only for our glory, but it is unto your glory that we have chosen us. Help us, God, in all our infinities, in our weaknesses. Make our fears, God, to become a faith. Give us courage as we look forward to 2019. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.